Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everyone to this morning's service of Central Congregational Church of Attleboro Falls. With us today, we have our music director extraordinaire, Dave Valario, and myself. I'm Wayne Netney, I'm the liturgist, and giving our sermon today while Reverend Carol continues her well-deserved time off is Warner Reinders. So without further ado, I will call us to worship. Let us worship God, our light and our salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of our lives. We desire to live in God's house and to seek God in his holy temple. We have come with shouts of joy to sing and to make music to the Lord. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. Teach us your ways and make straight our paths in this hour of worship and always. Amen.
Our opening hymn is number 64. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We're going to sing the first two verses.
Join me in our prayer of invocation. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. We bless you, O God, for giving us the grace and good health to gather here in your name. You have provided us with all of our needs and assure
that we are never lacking.
Accept our worship in the holy name of Jesus. We pray as we continue today's church service that we will feel your presence among us. We pray for all of those and those who have yet to see your power, that we may always serve you and grow in you. At the end of today, let us go out into the world to glorify your name and live in your presence. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For our responsive reading, if you'll turn to page 738 in the back of your hymnals, we'll be reading the Psalm of the Day. Blessed are those who do not walk in the counsel of the wicked,
or sit in the seat of scoffers.
But their delight is in the law of the Lord.
And on God's law they meditate day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water that yield their fruit in season, and their leaves do not wither.
In all that they do, they prosper.
The wicked are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away.
Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous,
but the way of the wicked will perish.
For way of announcements, we will, as everyone has figured out today, we will continue worshiping at 9:30 through the end of August. Sandy McLeod is still collecting soft baby dolls for the nursing home where she works for memory care patients. No Barbie dolls or hard plastic dolls. Those can be brought to church any Sunday or brought to the church office anytime. And are there any other announcements? Well, that's a very important announcement. I am here today. If not, let us remember how blessed we are as we offer our gifts and offerings. I will call for the wondrous gift of life. We are thankful, O God. Your generous outpouring of grace reminds us of the fruitful life we are called to bear. May these gifts of time and labor, therefore, embody our desire to share and contribute to your coming reign among us. Amen. Lord of all wisdom and patience, what would it mean if we ask you to dedicate not only the gifts we give to the church, but all the rest that we keep, that we hold back? What if we lived as those whose every dollar, every talent, Every hour was dedicated to making kindness, mercy, and justice the norm and not the exception. What would it mean if we really saw the places where indifference causes pain, hardship, and harm to souls, bodies, and creation itself? Help us to make this more than a hypothetical, but the reality of an offering of our whole being. We pray in the name of the one who gave his whole self to our redemption. Amen. And that's the beginning of the special music, but which is lovely. But we are blessed today to have some special music by Eric Newby, joined by his brother, I see back there, and Sherilyn Hepburn.
Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love. at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Ever only all for thee.
Thank you for that. We have celebrations this morning, and I'm aware of a few, but maybe some individuals would like to express those celebrations. Sherilyn, do you have a celebration this morning? It was really a fun event for all around. So yes, we do celebrate that. I know Wayne has a celebration.
Yes, I do. I'd like to celebrate that on Friday, my son graduated from Police Academy. We had a nice party for him. Yeah, so he'll be joining the North Attleboro Police Force. He's actually already been working for them for a couple years as a dispatcher. But, you know, with all the controversy with cops, I know he'll be a good one. And you know, we'll have a little more pure heart, and so we can celebrate that. Thank you.
Plus, we'll keep him in our prayers.
Please keep him in your prayers. Put him in the concerns.
Too. That's yes. Right. We'll put him in with our concerns. Any other celebrations? That's awesome. Woohoo! Woo. That's great. And God bless you. Any other celebrations? I do want to celebrate. I was caught, so I couldn't say too much after you finished singing, but I do want to celebrate Sherilyn and Eric being willing to do one of my favorite songs this morning. And it was very moving and very lovely. Thank you for doing that. Concerns. Any concerns?
Sure. So I think, was it last week or the week before, Jackie Howard ended up leaving service and going in an ambulance. She was okay. She's had these spells before, and it's a whole thing with her numbers and what's balanced and not. She's got some health issues, so she I talked to her this past week. She's feeling better. She's hoping to get back to church, but she's just giving herself a little time. She is doing better. And she said she just wanted to say to everybody, thank you for helping her through it and getting the right help a couple of weeks ago when she needed it. But hopefully she'll be back at church soon. And if you want to drop her a card or drop her a line or call her or something, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear that from you.
And she's so faithful in sending out cards and notes to people
who are
homebound or in the hospital. So I'm sure she would appreciate that. Any other concerns? Well, we have hospitalized. We think Richard Lamoureux is still hospitalized, but he could be home. That hasn't been clarified on the notes that I have. At home is Ed Dyer, Bob Kay, Jackie, as we mentioned. in nursing homes or assisted living is Jackie Glass, Carolyn Farrell, and Nancy Kelly. Ongoing medical issues, Jen and Lee and Marge and Michael. And we also want to remember to keep in our prayers all those who are struggling with addictions of any kind. People of the Ukraine, our nation and its leaders, our world and its leaders, and this month's mission, the Kids Summer Cafe. So let us pray. Loving Lord, we thank you because you've made us aware of your presence this morning here with us as we've gathered to worship. We bring before you all those that we've mentioned and those that we have not mentioned but carry in our hearts, and just pray that you would give them a special blessing today as you bless each of us here this morning. We do pray for our towns, we pray for our country, we pray for our world and all the leaders who make decisions on our behalf each day. We do pray for our police force that you would protect them as they seek to protect us. And now we pray that you would just move among us, speak to our hearts and our minds this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, and these are in these passages. Matthew is talking about Jesus and some of the words that he said. Kind of put it in context. It's early in his ministry. He had been baptized. He spent his 40 days in the desert doing reflection and fasting and being tempted by Satan. And then when he emerged, he went to deliver the Sermon on the Mount, which he gave the Beatitudes of kind of the tenets of Christian living. So right after that, he said these words, and I'll be reading from chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Please hear these words. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Our middle hymn we're going to sing is 569, We've a Story to Tell the Nations. And we're going to sing the first and last verses.
To tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the
This morning, when I was trying to figure out which glasses to wear so that I could see my notes on the pulpit, Gil said to me, "You're either going to see your notes or you're going to see people." So I've opted to see my notes, and the rest of you are sort of a blur out there. So if I don't make good eye contact, that's why. Would you complete the following sentence for me? A picture is worth a thousand. It is worth a thousand words and then some. And just out of curiosity, I decided that I would do a word count on my message this morning to see if it would be better served by just holding pictures up. And I found out that I have about 1,600 words. So if there are any bean counters in the room that would like to keep track of those words, you can let me know if I lived up to that. This proverb about pictures being worth thousands of words is something that we've heard, as you have expressed easily, quite often over the years. And the reason we use it is because there are times when things are so complex or have such strong emotion or are hard to explain that a picture serves a great purpose to make the point. Pictures nowadays come in all kinds of forms. We have photographs, we have the great masterpieces, we have sculptures, movies, illustrations. In fact, I was reminded, as I was thinking about all the ways that we see pictures, of a phrase that I will sometimes say when I get asked for assistance, and I would say, "Can you just let me see it?" Case in point was this week when Cheryl was telling me she was having an issue with her iPad, and there was a message that would pop up on the screen, and she couldn't tell me over the phone what it was, because by the time she would go to find it, it was gone. If you have phones and iPads, you understand what that's about. And so I finally said to her, "Cheryl, just take a screenshot, send it to me, and then I can tell you, or I can figure out what needs to be done to fix it." And sure enough, it was something that was easily taken care of, but Cheryl was unable to explain it to me so that I could understand what it was in order for me to address it. So let me see it. I have a daughter who likes to assemble things. And she will pull out of the IKEA boxes the instructions, which nowadays come with no words. They're pictures only. And somehow she's able to figure out the illustration to accomplish creating the item as it looks on the box. I'm always in awe of that. But pictures are captured, they're stored, they're easily shared these days with cell phones, because our cell phones function as cameras. And then we have good old Facebook and Instagram and texting that allows us to pass pictures on to friends, foes, and the whoever. So for those of you that have a phone with you today, this is your opportunity to take your phone out. I have my phone with me. If you have a phone, please take it out and find your picture app. If you don't have a phone with you, I want you to think about a picture in your home or a picture that comes to your remembrance. Now, if you're on your phone, find the last picture that you took, not the one that you received, because I receive a lot of pictures, but the last one that you took. I'm going to pull mine up. Mine happens to be a picture of the closing session of Vacation Bible School. It's unfortunate you can't see the details. It's very colorful, And it's Gil standing with a chef hat and a chef jacket on behind a table being Chef Gilbert, going through some crazy antics with a group of kids standing in front of him as they're trying to make the most ridiculous cake you could imagine. And so when I look at this picture, I'm reminded of those precious kids that gathered around that table to be involved with what was being done and to learn what Gil was saying about God's love for them. What comes to mind when you look at the last picture you took that's on your phone, or the picture that you're thinking about in your home? What comes to mind? Does it bring out feelings or thoughts? Does it remind you of experiences? What comes to mind? There are pictures that have been taken over the years that have had an impact on all of us and have been etched in our minds. I think of, and maybe some of you will, the first time there was a shot taken of Earth from space. That amazing round ball that sits with that black background, making it look like it is the most fabulous, spectacular orb in the universe. It was mind-blowing to realize we lived and live on that ball, and that in the midst of this amazing universe, here is Earth, and this is what it looks like from way out here. And then there's the picture of 9/11. Do you remember that picture where they took a shot of the firemen who raised the American flag in the rubble? It was vivid. It was reassuring. It was a symbol of hope to all of us that had experienced that in the country. So there are pictures that make us go, wow, and there are pictures that make us go, whoa. And they're etched into our life experience and who we are. Well, if I could take just three pictures, instead of using all of my words, if I could take three pictures just to make a point this morning, I would start with the first picture being God. In the beginning was God. We don't know what he looked like in the beginning. And in the first 39 books of the Bible, we don't see God. We hear God. People were not allowed, when God would pass by, people were not allowed to look upon him. They had to be protected. They could not see him. So nobody could see God in person. But throughout the Old Testament, God kept saying, I'm going to send you a living picture. He was telling the prophets, I'm going to send you a living picture so you can see me. So be patient. I'm coming. And so that second picture would be of Jesus, who was God in the flesh. I am always moved when I read this in the scriptures. The Word, or Jesus, God became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Emmanuel, God with us. God put skin on so that we could see who he was, because he knew we weren't getting it unless we saw it. It was kind of like, let me see. And God said, okay, I'm going to show you who I am in the flesh. And so for a while, God came and lived among us in the body of Jesus. And there were people that in Jesus' closest circle that we're still trying to grasp that. And at the Last Supper, Philip, one of his disciples, said to him, you know, Lord, show us the Father, show us God. And Jesus said to them, for all this time that you've been with me, have you not realized that anyone who has seen me has seen the Father? He reassured his disciples that God was present on earth with them. I read an anecdote about Robert Louis Stevenson several years ago, and it stuck with me because it's simple but profound. And Robert Louis Stevenson, who was in the mid to late 1800s, was the author of Treasure Island, Kidnapped, the Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. But when he was a little boy, he was in his home with his parents, and evening was falling. And just around dusk, he was looking out the window in his house. In fact, had kind of, you know, glued his face to it. I'm reminded of Charlie gluing his face to windows at the house when he's checking things outside. And he was looking at a man who was climbing ladders to light the gas lights, because they didn't have electricity. So they had to light gas lights so that the road would be lit during the evening. And he was fascinated with what he was seeing. His parents said to him, hey, Robert, what are you looking at out there? What's got your attention? And he was so excited, and he said, look at that man. He's punching holes in the darkness. Can you envision that? Punching holes in the darkness. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he came. He punched holes in the darkness of our world. We live in a fairly scary world right now. I know it's scary for kids, and it's scary for some adults. And Jesus has come as the light of the world to punch holes in that darkness. The third picture I have is a living picture of us. You see, Jesus not only said he was the light of the world, but he said, you are the light of the world. Now, how can that be? How can he be the light and we be the light? It's because Jesus empowers us to be the light. He gives us his light. When we're his followers and we say, you know, I will live after Jesus. I will follow his example. He is in my life. We carry his light. And so he had to multiply his light, because if it was just him, that light would be gone. But he said that his light could never be put out. And it couldn't be put out because he turned the light on in our lives. And so we share that light with others so that the world will still be able to see him. It's through us that others see that Jesus is alive and well. Let me read a translation of those verses that Wayne read for us earlier, written by Eugene Peterson in his translation of the Bible, The Message. He says it this way: let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt, seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. we're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to be open with God, this generous Father in heaven. I was reminded of Dave's story last week in the barbershop, where he opened up about being a man of God. And he did it in a very simple way by recognizing that there was a scripture verse on the wall. He wasn't in there preaching. He wasn't in there doing anything unusual. He was just in there to get a haircut and took notice of his surroundings and made a comment. And the men in the shop recognized that he was a man of God. That's how simple it is. So, those of us who claim to follow Jesus, you are the light of the world. And so we need to share that light. We need to be the ones that help punch holes in the darkness of our world, bringing the good news and the words of hope that come with Jesus. So the adage, a picture is worth a thousand words, means with its complexity and its multiple ideas, it's often much easier to convey it with a picture. And that's what God did with Jesus and through each of us. Jesus didn't have a cell phone to take a selfie, so he chose to create living pictures of himself in each one of us. And so through us and through his Holy Spirit living in us, we are able to share the essence of who Jesus is to the world around us. So in the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen.
Our closing hymn is number 585, This Little Light of Mine. There are three verses. We'll sing all three verses. If you read music, please do not read the music. Just sing the words, because this is a different version. So we're going to do the old-fashioned version that everyone knows. So I will sing down one time the first verse, and then please start at the top of the first verse again. Everyone join in, and we'll sing verse 1, 2, and 3 together.
Okay. I'm going to let it sound.
I'm gonna
Now may the beauty of Jesus be seen in each of us. Let your light shine that others will see the good you do and bring glory to your Father in heaven. Amen.